I'll be reading from Acts 4, 17 through 21. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done.
We live in a time when there is a great amount of emphasis on unity. Nations talk about working together. People are encouraged to watch out one for another. Stress is being laid upon our being unified against terror. The Bible has some things to say about unity, but this evening we want to look at the opposite end of the matter. We want to see what Scripture has to say concerning division. The Bible says that there are times in life when God's people need to part company with others. There are times when unity is wrong. And one of the places where we see this fact established is in Acts chapter 4. During the scripture reading, we heard Acts 4, verse 18. There were religious leaders who had the apostles brought before them, and the apostles were told that they were to stop preaching about Jesus. Peter and John understood the command. But as you look at verse 20, you find that they refused to quit. The apostles said, we cannot agree with you. There are some things that we cannot sanction. We need to stand up for what is right. So in spite of the risks, in spite of the dangers, the servants of God that we have in Acts 4 told the authorities no. Now, these men died, obviously, a long time ago, but we find as we live our lives, about 2,000 years later, that this very same kind of choice is sometimes presented to us. We are put in positions where we must stand up for what is right or decide that we're going to stay silent about what's wrong or perhaps agree. These circumstances can occur in the home, at work, school, or another public setting. And as we look at the Bible, both Testaments, we find that God's people have often been put into this kind of situation. And this evening we want to look at some of the examples where this has occurred and make some practical points of observation. Think with me about some of the events in Scripture. I'm turning back to Exodus chapter 1. In fact, I'm already there. And I'll give you some background material if you want to turn there in just a minute and begin reading with me. In Exodus 1, we of course have a story about the Jewish midwives. The Bible says in Exodus 1, verse 7, that the Hebrew people were increasing in number. The text uses the word fruitful. The text goes on to say that the Hebrew people were so fruitful, they were increasing so quickly that they increased abundantly and they multiplied. The text says in describing this continual addition of the people, there were so many of them that they waxed exceeding mighty. And then the final description is that the land was filled with them. And for a time, that was okay. The population continued to expand, and nobody was too concerned about that. But Exodus 1, verse 18, or verse 8, shows that a new Egyptian king came into power. And this ruler, as he surveyed the situation, he was concerned about what he saw, that is, the expanding Hebrew population. And because he was worried about some of the potential consequences, the Bible says in Exodus 1, verse 11, that he began to afflict the people. But the burdens that this ruler imposed upon the people did not stop the Israelites from increasing. In fact, according to the text, Exodus 1:12, the Bible says that they multiplied the more, and the more they spread abroad. And then as you get down to verse 14, you find words like rigor. That is, the ruler began to impose a kind of service upon these people that was bitter, a kind of life that was difficult. Seems to stop the population spread, but it didn't matter. They still continued to increase in number. So the king reached a point in his life where he was desperate. And we pick up the story with Exodus 1, verse 16. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the birth stool, if it be a son, then shall ye kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall she live. The king ordered the women who were helping with the births to kill the male babies, but if it was a female child, then the girl could be kept alive. Most are familiar with this part of the story as well as verse 17 and reading that too. But the midwives feared God And the Bible says they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. These ladies stood up for what was right. And that's exactly the point that we find in Acts chapter 4. These ladies, just like the apostles, decided to follow God no matter what the cost. Well, as you look at Exodus 1 verse 18, you find that a time came when the king of Egypt, the ruler, called these midwives because they were not doing what he had said. The apostles, Acts 4, they were also called before the officials. And it's certainly true that the apostles gave a better response to the ruler than the midwives did. Nevertheless, it's true in both situations that the midwives and the apostles stood up for what was right. And that had to be at least a little frightening. The ruler of Egypt, of course, because of the power that he had the ability to kill people on the spot, to have people immediately put to death. The rulers in Acts chapter 4, they had the ability to administer severe beatings. And yet you find, as you look at this early section of Scripture and a section very much later, that people, the people of God, stayed true to their convictions. Both the New Testament and very early in the Old Testament, we read about people who stood up for what was right. We also find, as we continue to look at the entirety of Scripture, other examples where people were put into a position where they had to choose between standing up for what was right or giving in to people who opposed them, and people made the right choice. In Exodus 2, we read about the birth of a young Hebrew boy. The child, of course, as I mentioned, was a male. We know him as Moses, and the Bible says that his parents hid him. They, just like the midwives, were not willing to destroy this young man. If all we had was the information in Exodus 2, we would have a lot, but we would miss an important detail, a detail that the Hebrew writer records in Hebrews 11, verse 23. This is an important cross-reference because the Hebrew writer provides us with a small detail about Moses' parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a goodly child. Well, we know that from Exodus 2. But now notice this. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's not recorded in Exodus chapter 2. You have here an example of parents defying the ruler of Egypt, and yet the Bible adds that they were not afraid. These people had trust in God. They stood up for what was right, and they did not have a second thought about it. A little later tonight, we want to see how God dealt with these parents, but for now, we simply make that point. Our next two examples are going to come from the book of Daniel. And selecting this book because it's kind of in the middle of things. As we look at both Daniel 1 and Daniel 3, we have two examples of the principle that we find in Exodus 1, Exodus 2, and Acts chapter 4. The opening verses in the book of Daniel tell us about a king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, and this king did battle with the people in the area of Jerusalem. And once he was successful, the Bible says that he had some young people taken back to Babylon. These young men, one of whom was Daniel, were put into a 3-year program. It was the king's intent that these people would be trained in Babylonian ways and Babylonian thoughts, schooled in their language and so forth, and given good food and then be useful to the Babylonian people. As you look at Daniel 1 verse 8, you find that young Daniel concluded that he would be defiled if he ate the king's food. So Daniel did not eat it. Imagine, if you will, the honor of being selected by a king. Even in this set of circumstances, a foreign ruler invades the land and he decides to pick out the cream of the crop, some people who are going to be useful. And he selects you out of all the other people. And he says, I want you to eat at my table. I want you to have the best education you can possibly have. I'm going to take care of you. I have selected you. You are going to be used in a special way. That would certainly be an honor, even under those circumstances. Imagine the courage of someone who has the conviction of someone who says to that ruler or to the representative that's working with them, I know what you want to do, but I'm not going to do that. That can be a deadly mistake. Daniel respectfully declined doing what the king wanted. Two chapters later in this book, we read about he and three others who stood up to an official. As you continue to read in this book, you find that Nebuchadnezzar eventually made an image that, from what we can tell, was about 90 feet tall. It seems that the width of this object was about 9 feet wide. It was a colossal image. And a day came when the king ordered the people to fall down and worship this particular object. The order was, when people heard certain musical sounds, then they were to do homage to the image. And the people who refused to do that were threatened with death. Looking at Daniel chapter 3, the information in the 6th verse says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Well, as the story progresses, we find that not every person obeyed. There were some Hebrews who refused to comply with the king's order, and that made the king extremely angry. About midway through the story, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then, of course, these men were brought before the king. These men stood up for what was right. They told the king that they would not bow down, no matter what the cost. Even if the king wanted to take their lives, they would not stoop to doing what was wrong. Nebuchadnezzar was enraged. His fury is described in places like verse 19, and including that verse in tonight's lesson as well. He was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and perhaps we can imagine him as screaming, and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. According to verse 20, there were mighty men who were ordered to throw these three young men into the furnace. The Jewish men could have agreed with the king and saved their lives. At least that's how it would have initially appeared. But they decided, just like the apostles in Acts 4, to stand up for what was right. They were like the Hebrew midwives and other great people in the Bible, including Daniel. In different sections of the Bible, we find people who, despite some very terrible threats and scary situations, stood up for what was right. Well, that kind of brings us down midway through the lesson, but we need to, as Paul Harvey says, get the rest of the story. What happened to these people? It's one thing to stand up for what's right, but as we look at the consequences that these people were facing, maybe they had a very difficult time of it. Maybe things didn't go very well. Well, we started with Acts 4, and we showed, and I'm headed back there now, we showed that the apostles decided to stand up for what was right, even though that certainly was not going to be a very popular decision with the rulers. As you look at Acts 4, verse 23, you begin to find what happened after they made this decision. The Bible says that they were released. These men didn't die. God was with them. And after these men were released, the text goes on to tell us, and I'll be reading verses 31 through 33, Scripture continues to show that these men prayed and things worked out very well for them. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. God responded to them, wherein they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and soul. And not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles their witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Here were two people who were put into a very difficult situation.